Welcome to Radio Survivor. We're here for the love of radio and sound. I'm Jennifer Waits.
Hello, everybody. Eric Klein here.
And it's been a little minute since we Radio Survivors have gotten together, and I thought it would be appropriate to record a new episode as I just have returned from the Grassroots Radio Conference in Spokane, Washington. So on this episode, we'll be chatting about what happened at the Grassroots Radio Conference, maybe also talk about some of my other station tours and travels from earlier this year, and just sort of catch up on what's going on in the world of community radio. So, Eric, glad to be back here with you.
Yeah, Jennifer, I'm so glad that you made the determination that it was time to record a new episode. I can't wait to hear about how people are doing at the Grassroots Radio Conference.
So for listeners to Radio Survivor, you might be familiar with the Grassroots Radio Conference. We actually did a couple of live recordings at previous Grassroots Radio Conferences. It's a national gathering for people in community media, bringing together LPFM stations, low power FM, also some full power and non-commercial educational broadcasters, college radio stations, engineers and advocates for independent media. And back in 2020, there was a virtual GRC that Radio Survivor recorded an episode for, a live broadcast.
That's right. I remember that. I also, I just drove past on the bus the location of where Radio Survivor recorded our live episode when the Grassroots Radio Conference was here in Portland, Oregon. Oh, don't ask me for the exact date because I'll get it wrong, but it was a real, it was a fond memory of getting to be a part of the Grassroots Radio Conference when it came to town.
And that was the last time I went to one in person. It was pre-pandemic, and don't ask me the year either, Eric. And before that, I had attended one that was in Urbana-Champaign and also one in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So different stations host them around the country every year.
Right.
And so this time it was hosted by KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, in Spokane, Washington, in September 2025. And it was held at the library, which is where the radio station is located. So that was pretty cool. There were around 100 people that came from about 45 different stations from all over the country. They had a map with pushpins in it, and it looked like there were some people from Alaska, definitely people from California to Maine and from Washington to Florida. And there were a variety of sessions and music performances at night. And then, you know, like any conference, a lot of casual conversations, which, you know, a lot of those, just kind of getting to meet people from across the country was interesting for me. I met people who had construction permits for new low power FM licenses. So it took me back to when Radio Survivor was covering earlier low power FM windows, and we were watching, you know, all of the groups that were coming on board. So it was exciting to see that energy from people who had their construction permits in hand and were trying to gather information and resources from people at the conference on, you know, what to do next as far as finding equipment and programming and, you know, all those details. So
how exciting. Grassroots Radio Conference in Portland, Oregon, when we broadcast from the main part of the conference was 2018.
I
looked it up. So yeah, 7 years ago. So you got to meet a lot of people. 2025 must have been a little bit of a different overall vibe. I'm wondering, how are people doing in the radio community, in the grassroots radio community?
It's, you know, it's a mixed bag, and there were some people there who are at stations that get CPB funding. So obviously they are concerned, you know, about funding. So it ran the gamut. You know, there were some people from college radio stations. There were people from low power FM. There were people from full power FM stations. And so it ran the gamut. You know, the conference kicked off with a keynote from FCC Commissioner Ana Gomez.
Oh, interesting.
And that was a very powerful keynote, largely about free speech. And so that kind of set the tone, I think, for the beginning of the conference, like putting it in the context of what's happening in our media landscape, what's happening with the FCC in 2025. So,
Yeah, because it's clear now, I can say this into the microphone, that the Republican chair of the FCC, Brendan Carr, has thrown his lot in with the authoritarianism of the Trump administration. The FCC is now going to act as a political arm of Trump's, Republican Party to punish the enemies of the administration. That is what's happening now. Now, that's happening at the national level, with a lot of big fish. It's an open question as to what kind of weaponry the FCC can wield against tiny radio stations like those at the grassroots radio conference. But
yeah, I mean, it feels, she was, people asked some questions about that. There was a Q&A with her, and
And again, this was at the Grassroots Radio Conference, which took place. Give us a date.
in September 2025, so September 11th to 14th,
Okay.
2025.
So a day after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, which set off the most recent crackdown by Brendan Carr of the FCC on free speech, which came after the speech that Ana Gomez gave at the conference. So right in the
Exactly.
middle of everything.
Exactly. Yeah. So she talks specifically about this particular FCC threatening freedom of speech and freedom of
Yeah.
the press. And she was really encouraging people to speak out against that. And she was concerned about firings of people at independent agencies. She
Right.
talked about there being an extreme agenda and that the power to revoke a broadcast license is being weaponized. And she also referred to it being punitive censorship and that this particular FCC is using licenses as tools of coercion. So, some pretty powerful words. And she said the FCC is pres this FCC is pressuring news agencies that is resulting in some government control over newsroom decisions, like the government-sanctioned Truth Monitor now at CBS. She referred to that,
Yeah.
calling all of this a dark chapter, and looking ahead, she said that the FCC is considering overriding ownership caps for stations, and we've talked about this over the years on Radio Survivor about how allowing, reducing these ownership caps has obviously resulted in less diversity in radio, and many of us have been concerned about this for a long time. And
Yeah,
so,
like we've been a real broken record on the show, and a lot of it goes farther back than our current era, like maybe even farther back than some of our potential listeners now. The story is older than the last 30 years, but also at this very moment, the fact that media ownership is being consolidated into smaller and smaller groups also gives a lot more power to those companies to censor speech that they want to. And we know that that also played a role in what's happening with Brendan Carr's FCC. It's all a piece.
it's all a piece, yeah. And she pointed out, as we know, that efforts to reduce these caps will reduce the number of voices on the air, and she said it will do nothing to help small stations.
Yeah, it's funny because it not only does it maybe strengthen political control over the airwaves, which is really spooky and difficult to talk about without feeling sad and angry, but it also just means less people sitting in chairs doing the job of making radio.
Right.
So it's both sad culturally just because you have less of a cultural impact at these radio stations
Right.
in their communities.
Yeah. So as the gloom and doom of the speech continued, she
Yeah.
said, NPR and PBS stations are also under siege, as we know. And she said, "I hope I am overreacting." But she was also trying to leave people with the idea that, you know, she said, "We are not powerless to change the course of history." And she said that grassroots radio is so important because it fulfills this need of serving diverse communities, that that's part of the whole ethos of community radio, that you are there locally, you are serving a diverse community. And she said it's going to help us keep diversity of viewpoints. When all these other things are happening,
Yeah.
community radio will help us keep diversity of viewpoints.
Was Ana Gomez there in person
She was.
in Spokane?
Yeah, she was.
Interesting.
Yeah, she was there in person. So she gave a keynote and then participated in a Q&A session. During that session, she also talked a bit more about her fears about, she talked about capitulation in advance and that
Yeah.
she's very concerned about that. And she said capitulation breeds capitulation. But then on the flip side, she said courage breeds courage. So, you know, this that people are self-censoring because they're afraid of the repercussions, you know, of free speech, which is really scary because we need to exercise our rights in order to keep them. And, you know, she also mentioned that, you know, there have been allegations of media bias and that they've been manufactured as a way to exert control.
Yeah, playing the ref is the way they used to. It's interesting. I'm looking up Ana Gomez now, and on her Wikipedia page is that on September 17th, which is one day before we're recording today, so a week after you saw Ana Gomez speak at the grassroots radio conference, she made news by going on CNN to defend Jimmy Kimmel against Brandon Carr's Federal Communications Commission, where she sat. So that's interesting.
And she issued a press release today on September 18th, 2025, about this also. And it's using a lot of the same language that she was using at the grassroots radio conference. Like, she's a real free speech advocate, and she's really getting out there kind of on a tour talking about the importance of these concerns. And this is the thing, like, so we know this as radio people, but you know, the FCC is not supposed to be controlling the content of our programming. And you know, she said the FCC should not be policing bias, and that
Yeah,
act.
it's a really interesting. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's like it's worth mentioning because especially because Radio Survivor's been covering the FCC for the whole time we've been doing our podcast, and we weren't able to stay as on top of the news at the FCC in the last 5 years or so. But what's Brendan Carr is a really interesting character because he predates the Trump administration. He was already serving in a capacity at the FCC prior to being appointed by Trump to be the chair. So he's he his work goes back to 2014 is what I've seen by doing a little bit of my research. But please tell me more, Jennifer, about what Ana Gomez is saying,
Yeah,
who's
and
on the FCC.
yeah, the Democrat on the FCC, a Democratic FCC commissioner, the sole Democrat.
Appointed by Joe Biden in 2023, I see here on Wikipedia.
So she was saying, like I said, the FCC should not be policing bias, and she said that actions are being taken
The sole
that.
Democrat, also, I'm so sorry, but I just need to mention that there's supposed to be two Democrats, two Republicans, and then a chair to break the tie, and the chair is appointed by the president. The Democrats are missing an FCC seat. I think that goes back to Republican obstructionism and Joe Biden's reluctance to care. I don't know. I need more help to
Yes,
cover this news.
we need our FCC friends, but they're
Please continue, Jennifer.
yes. So
Just worth pointing out that she's alone. She's not supposed to be alone. The FCC is supposed to be balance between Republican and Democrat appointees, and then the chair breaks the tie.
yeah, it's a small number of commissioners right now, so it's a different situation.
It says something about the historical moment.
Right. And we can put some links in the show notes to some of the other Radio Survivor episodes where we've talked about the FCC of the past, which could be helpful. So, you know, the FC she said the FCC should not be policing bias, that actions are being taken that are meant to chill. And you know, some people in the audience were asking some questions about what to do and not do on the air, and she kept sort of pointing out, you know, the FCC is really not supposed to be policing your content. So you really shouldn't have to be worrying about this.
Supposed to be language,
Yeah.
swear words, excretory language,
And calls to action. If
and
it's a
calls to action. Yeah.
non-commercial broadcaster, you can't be airing commercials.
Those are the laws, but the FCC, but it's a unique time because maybe the laws are
Yeah. So,
being
I mean,
challenged outside of the legal framework that we used to depend upon.
so in the context of that, she said, you know, there have been FCC complaints, you know, from the public regarding reporting on ICE raids, for example. And she said, but this is news reporting. You know, this is not, this, it's okay to report the news. And she told, you know, people in the audience, keep reporting the facts. That's important to report the facts. And she also said that she trusts the mainstream media to fact check. You know, she trusts the media. So those, I mean, those were some of the highlights, you know, that she was issuing very strong reminders about what she thinks the role of the FCC should be and critiques of things that have been happening under this administration, and is really asking for people to call out when things are happening that aren't right, and reminding stations to not capitulate, as she says it, you know, don't self-censor,
Right.
keep exercising your
And I
rights.
guess what's interesting, and I am now going to again go out on a limb, but hopefully do justice by our colleague who's not here right now, who would give the advice, who's given the advice on the air in the past that, like, so I've been talking about the political appointees to the FCC, the chairs, and the Republicans and the Democrats, but it's important to remember that the Federal Communications Commission is staffed by government bureaucrats who choose to do their job by following the rules that are in front of them. And so until we find out otherwise, like, there's no reason to imagine that, like, you know, I'm thinking about the stations that came to the grassroots radio conference, Jennifer, that you were referring to, who have their build who their construction permits.
Right.
They might be concerned about whether or not the FCC is going to allow them on the air, and should they behave in a certain way to get permission to get on the air. And I'm remembering that Paul would talk about how the FCC is staffed by bureaucrats that are going by the numbers.
Yeah, and a lot of things are complaint driven too, like
Right.
and there are things that shouldn't be actionable because, you know, like the content of what you're talking about on your show, you know, shouldn't be an actionable. Maybe a listener might complain about something, but you know, she's pointing out like we shouldn't be acting against the fact that you simply had a news story about ICE raids, for example.
Right. Ana Gomez's speech mentioned that in these times, it's important not to self-censor, not to get ahead of yourself and imagine an authoritarian above you and then stop what you were going to say. Don't stop yourself from exercising your free speech because of a version of the authoritarian that you've built in your head to try to stay out of trouble. But now you've
Exactly.
already gotten yourself into a new kind of trouble by self-censoring.
Exactly. So this was the kickoff for the whole conference. You know, Ana Gomez there in person giving this keynote. So it was inspiring and also, you know, unnerving, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe we'll talk about some of the other things that happened at the grassroots radio conference in Spokane in September 2025. The mayor of Spokane also
Okie dokie.
spoke and issued.
Spokane's interesting too because it's kind of it's very close to the Canadian border.
Eastern Washington, not as close to the Canadian border as I thought. I was getting a lot of Twin Peaks vibes, and
Sure.
Twin Peaks
Close,
was,
closer than I am now.
yeah, Twin
So
Peaks.
the mayor of Spokane was there.
Yeah, she was there, and she issued a proclamation declaring it Community Radio Week,
That's nice.
in Spokane. So that was really cool too, and the majority of the people in the room had never been to Spokane, so interesting going to a conference where so many of us were in a place that we had never been to. Besides, obviously, the people who live in Spokane, but people were coming from all over the country, and many had not been to Spokane. So, if fun for me to check out a new place.
Did you do any radio tours while you were there? You were at the host station.
I toured the host station. So, like I mentioned, KYRS, they're located in the public library. And so actually there were some sessions about the backstory of their station, and also a look at some of their historical artifacts. So there was a lovely display of materials from the station's past, including flyers and posters and such. But the station was located on the same floor of the library where the Ana Gomes keynote was. There's kind of an open area where they can do large events, including the radio station KYRS does an event called Loud at the Library, where they bring in bands to play in the library. So there's a lot of conversation about how they came to be in the library.
I
They
love
moved.
that. I have been to an all ages rock and roll show in the Olympia Library,
Fun.
and I loved it. It was a long time ago, and so the idea of a library being a good place for music, yeah, that makes me happy.
Yeah, so
I was getting
KYRS.
sorry, I was getting Spokane confused with Bellingham, by the way.
Oh,
Bellingham is
yeah.
closer to Canada than Spokane. And
Yeah.
they're only both cities in Washington, and that's all they have in common.
Yeah, not super close to Canada, but
No.
closer than I am to Canada.
Yeah.
So KYRS, they moved to the library in 2022.
Oh, interesting. They weren't born there.
They weren't born there. Well, maybe I'll back up and give some backstory,
Yeah.
actually, because they started as a low power FM station, Thin Air Community Radio, KYRS, and they were one of the early barnstorming or barn raising, Prometheus Radio Project.
Oh, wonderful.
The station was Prometheus' first barn raising event, and that happened in October 2003. So initially it was LPFM, and then in 2011 they were able to go full power. So also an interesting story for people in the audience who maybe had low power FM stations but have dreams of a full power license. They can offer this perspective that they were able to go full power. So they went full power in 2011, and then in 2022 moved to the library, and it turned out that they were needing to move, and the library was about to go through some renovation. And somebody involved with the library, who's also involved with the station, saw, was like, well, I wonder, what about moving the radio station to the library?
I love that so much.
And they realized that there was just so much synchronicity between the missions between the two places. So there was a panel discussion where they were talking a bit about the history of KYRS and how all that came to be, and things like this live or Loud at the Library, where they have bands. Events like that are run and programmed by the radio station, but they benefit the library too. And so there's discussion from the folks who work at the library about how the station has the capacity to do some programming and different things that benefit the library and benefit the community and patrons that the library doesn't have the staff to handle. And then additionally, so the radio station's on the top floor, and adjacent to that is a podcasting studio and a live recording studio that are library studios that people can rent out, but the radio station can use them as well. And you can check out instruments as well. So the radio station can check out instruments, can use the recording studio, can use the podcasting studio. And the radio station also teaches production classes for the public. So it's this amazing kind of way that all these resources are shared, and maybe new people are discovering the station, new people are discovering the library through the radio station events. It kind of goes both ways. And the radio station has windows that are overlooking, the public areas on that top floor. So you walk by and you can look into the studio, and and they were broadcasting some of the conference too. I believe they were broadcasting the Anagomas keynote, for
Wow.
example.
That's just so nice to hear because my experiences at radio stations are sometimes that they are closed off or hidden away. So to think about a radio station being not only a part of a community, as in it's going out over the airwaves and everyone can tune their radio to listen, but it's a part of the community. It's like it's literally in the public library. People who have other business in their community stumble into that radio station. Sounds like every week that they're exposed to the public facing nature of this station. It's really a wonderful thing to think about for Spokane, Washington.
And we were hearing some story. They were telling stories about, oh, somebody came into the library to drop off this local independent newspaper, to drop off a stack, and then they ended up talking to this person, and then that person ended up maybe getting interviewed on the radio or becoming
Right.
involved as a volunteer. So it sounds like that's happening all the time, where there are these connections, or the bands are brought in to play at one of these events, and maybe, they get looped into the station a little bit more. And they had a couple of the nights of the conference, they had bands playing as part of that series. So those were open to the public, and I think the keynote by Ana Gomez was also open to the public. So parts of the grassroots radio conference were also open to the public, meaning that the library and the radio station could promote them as something that anybody in the community could go to. So yeah,
That's, I love that. I love that for Spokane. I love that for the people at this station. Tell me the name of the station again. It's called what? Not Fresh Air. It's
Thin Air Community Radio.
Thin Air Community Radio.
KYRS. And one of the musical acts that performed was a taiko drumming
Okay.
group that was just incredible. So
Loud.
that was a highlight for me. Loud and amazing, and not theatrical, but it's like watching dance and music simultaneously. Just very beautiful. Yeah, so that was the Seoul station tour. There are a couple online college radio stations in Spokane that I wasn't able to secure visits to, sadly. So I saw one station and really just spent time going to the conference, communicating with people.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you got a chance to go to the Grassroots Radio Conference, Jennifer. It sounds like I'm seeing in your notes that it did seem like a lot of people were able to attend this year.
Yeah,
It might have been kind of a small.
over 100 people, and I don't know. I don't have perspective on how big the other events were, but
Yeah, over time. That's a different question.
but they're definitely new faces for me. There were, the other sessions, a lot of things were kind of pragmatic things, talking about fundraising, talking about, one station, WAYO in Rochester, they did a session about the nitty-gritty of how they do a live music show on their station, and kind of the ways that they played around with. They had a lot of bands coming on the air, and it was getting sort of hard to handle it when they were coming at bands would come at various times throughout the schedule. So they decided to create a show and have bands come in just this one particular time, a consistent day, time every week. So they walk through, like, very specifically, how they run this show, how they do sound check. They have a very organized schedule for load in, and so it's interesting to see that, because especially, a lot of us might come from radio stations where things might not happen with with that kind of I don't know, rigor
Right.
to how a show is produced. So, you know, sessions like that gave people an example of, oh, okay, this is one way that you might run a live music show. There's another session about AI, which I was interested to go to because, you know, AI is taking over and there's lots of conversation about AI. So it was
Interesting. Well, what were we talking about with AI at the Grassroots Radio Conference?
we were talking about it was pretty much an example of how one radio station that is very understaffed and under-resourced uses AI. It's an LPFM that's 100% run on automation. And so somebody's working with that radio station who's been working in AI for years and years. So that person set up a lot of systems so that, say, you could plug in information into a form and it will pop out with an underwriting script, for example, after you put in the keywords that you need for your underwriting script. They used an AI tool to go through their music library and find all the music that had swear words in it.
Okay.
And the guy, the AI expert, was going through and talking about the best way to utilize some of these AI tools so that you get the best results. And he was also saying, don't trust AI.
Right. Don't try to make ChatGPT write your scripts.
Exactly. Don't trust it. Don't believe it. But was also showing how one station had created tools to sort of train.
Right. Automation and radio have been those words go together for longer than the current ChatGPT universe we're all sort of swimming in. So it's interesting.
Exactly. And it's also a reminder that they're, on Radio Survivor, I talk a lot about college radio and how diverse it is, that there are a wide variety of stations. And this was also a reminder that there are a wide variety of low power FM stations.
Yeah.
So not every station, some stations might be full of underground music shows and public affairs programming, but there are stations like this one that is running kind of an oldies format on automation,
Right.
and
Well,
using AI tools.
and what's so funny about that is just to, if I'm allowed to dream, I don't know this radio station in particular, I don't know the person who runs it, but the funny thing about low power FM that I do know is that a station can be one thing in this decade and survive into the future long enough to be something else. And so maybe just because it has a staff of one right now and has to be run on automation and use AI doesn't mean that down the line that station will always be lacking human staff.
Exactly.
Things can
Yes.
change.
Yeah, things can change.
If the station stays on the air.
Yeah.
So we'll that's my silver lining for AI automation in 2025.
Exactly. So,
Maybe there's kids being born right now who will get to work at that station because it's still on the air 18 years from now.
well, you're listening to Radio Survivor, and those, Eric, are my highlights from the Grassroots Radio Conference, which took place in Spokane, Washington, September 11th to 14th, 2025. And that was not the only radio conference I went to this summer. I also traveled to Canada, which you mentioned
Existing.
Canada. You mentioned the existence of Canada.
Bellingham is 20-ish miles from the Canadian border. Spokane is much further away. Anyway, I have a reason for mixing them up. It's not a valid reason.
No,
They're
that's okay. I
both in northern Washington, but across the one, across, farther away from each other than it's fair to mix them
I
up.
yeah, I hadn't been to Spokane before either, and I was alluding to the fact that it was reminding me of Twin Peaks, and
Yeah.
Twin Peaks is actually supposed to be very close to the Canadian border, so I can see the confusion because it very much looked like
Yeah,
the
when
setting
you're
for Twin Peaks.
when your reference point is a certain large Pacific state named California, The whole Pacific Northwest can seem like a very special, and I was born in Southern California, so I'm making fun of how I perceive Pacific Northwest towns. I went to college in the Pacific Northwest, and I live there now. So I'm sorry to the people of Bellingham and Spokane for confusing you. Tell
Spokane.
us.
Oh, Spokane is beautiful, by the way. There's
Yeah, of
a
course.
river with amazing waterfalls and bridges. It's gorgeous. But yes, we're going to talk about going to actual Canada. I
It's
went
also
to
beautiful.
the National Campus and Community Radio Association conference in Nanaimo, British Columbia, back in June, and I was invited up there because they were doing a screening of 35,000 watts. It's a documentary about college radio that I'm interviewed in. So I was invited up to speak at that and then ended up doing a session about saving college radio history. And I was one of two people there from the United, or one of two people there that weren't from Canada. Me and somebody from Australia. So it's really it's a and it's a so It's an association of Canadian stations, so you wouldn't have people coming from outside of Canada. And it's a really interesting conference. They also had a fun awards ceremony at the end where they recognize Canadian stations for various things in production and et cetera. And it had a whole people dressed up for it, and they had an MC who was really entertaining, like a comedian, but he was also a community radio, campus and community radio person. So that was fun. And there was a, it was hosted, the host station is CHLY, which is in Nanaimo, and they did a trip. It wasn't really advertised, but I found out about it kind of right before it was about to happen. There was a trip to visit their transmitter site, and we traveled in a bus that had been converted by the guy to use for transport to Ren fairs. So it had like really fantastical, or it had, hand-built shelving inside and whimsical artwork on the outside of it. So I don't know, fewer than 10 of us rode on this bus up to the top of a mountain near sunset, beautiful, beautiful views from the top of the mountain for this magical tour. So it was fun. It reminded me of some other grassroots radio conferences, actually, where I got to go on transmitter tours. Definitely like a field trip, summer camp kind of vibe. And it's different than grassroots radio conference because grassroots radio conference is connected to a very loose association that's not really an association of
Right.
people. It
That's, we didn't mention that up top, but I was thinking that for a moment, that what's unique about the grassroots radio conference and community radio in the United States in general is just that it's like a it's a blessing and a curse how disorganized it really is, how decentralalized it really is.
Yeah, exactly. It's very, very loose. But the
But you're
National Campus and Community Radio Conference is part of the is organized by the National Campus and Community Radio Association. So, the people there are members of this association
in Canada.
in Canada. And what's also different about the conference coming from the United States is that regulations are different in Canada. Broadcasters have different requirements. They have different categories of licenses. So, there's a lot that I'm not as familiar with. They have requirements about playing Canadian content, and they have to keep track of that. So that's part of their, mandate as a station is to play Canadian content, like Canadian musicians, and then keep track of it. And there's also money set aside for campus and community radio, which was also
Amazing.
like, wow, that's so cool that you have this pocket of money. So there are radio stations there that have been able to get grants for things like archiving projects, for
Ah.
example. I know. So cool. So yeah, I mean there I don't have much to say about the content of the conference. I was able to do a crazy amount of field trips to see radio stations, so that was very fun. Including Radio Sydney, which is a community station that was right near the airport in Victoria where I flew in, so that was great. Got to see that right after getting picked up from the airport. Saw a number of college stations, CFUV at University of Victoria, CHLY in Nanaimo that I mentioned, Vancouver Co-op Radio, which I know we've talked about on Radio Survivor, long-standing important community radio station in Vancouver. So that was a real joy to visit. And they also have, for many years, have been airing experimental sound art, and they have a studio there from that's connected with a sound art collective, I believe.
Oh my, that's very exciting. Tell, put an underliner under that again. Tell us what the Sound Art
Oh, I don't know if
Campus Radio is all about.
I'm not prepared for that, but Vancouver Co-op Radio is a community station in Vancouver that, in addition to airing all kinds of public affairs shows and music shows, they also have been airing and a proponent of sound art. So, very experimental
Yeah.
soundscape style programming. So we'll put some links in the show notes.
Put them in just for me, Jennifer, so I can click on them and listen to Vancouver, British Columbia College Radio sound art content.
Yes, it's that one's a community. Well, I mean, the category is campus and community radio,
Oh, okay.
but
Thank
that
you.
one is not affiliated with a campus.
That's what I needed help with.
Yes. And who else did I see? I saw Civil Radio, which is at University of the Fraser Valley in Abbotsford. So that was more out a distance from Vancouver in a more conservative area. And there was a recent documentary about that radio station that aired at the conference. So that was fun. The conference showed 35,000 watts, which is about college radio in the States. And then
Right.
they,
And that documentary came out recently, right? In the last few years.
yeah.
And you are interviewed in it.
Yes. And then CIVL is a recent documentary about a specific station in Canada. So
Okay.
it was kind of cool to see both of those documentaries and then go to the actual station. And fun fact, at Civil, I found out apparently a lot of Lifetime movies are filmed in this area in Canada,
Sure. They have
and Hallmark movies.
a Midwest American vibe with Canadian labor as the I can just imagine why the film industry shows up.
So some thriller,
Picturesque settings.
exactly, some thrillery film set on a college campus, a Lifetime movie was filmed at the Civil radio station. So I really need to find it. I haven't been able to find it yet. It's something, the title is something like Murder in the Dorms.
Yeah, which is I look forward to that rabbit hole for you because, you know, that it's not necessarily media is not what it used to be, right? You might not be able to find a copy of this movie since
Well,
it's a TV movie.
exactly. It's a recent movie, and
Yeah.
as of yet, I couldn't find it
You
on
might have
demand
to, yeah, you might have to sign up for some very obscure
service. I think you do.
streaming service. Yeah, funny.
Yeah. And then
Keep me posted.
I will. I also visited CJSF at Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, which is very close to Vancouver.
Okay.
And when I was in that station, I saw stickers on a cabinet from a friend's record label that is very obscure and is, not functional anymore. So that
Okay.
was, it's bizarre, the things that you see sometimes at radio stations.
An ephemera, a piece of ephemera, evidence of a very small, collectively run, I'm sure, arts project from the past that's no longer around.
I know. And my
Interesting.
friends from, I sent pictures to my friends from that label and they were very excited. And then I ended the trip going to CITR at University of British Columbia, and that station is the home of Nardwar, who's like this famous celebrity journalist and
I'm so happy, Jennifer, because when I learned about Nardwar a couple years ago, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to talk to Nardwar, talk about Nardwar with Jennifer sometime on the show, but then I never worked it in. How
yeah.
exciting! So you went to the original campus radio station home of internet celebrity Nardwar, who, for context, in case no one who's listening to my voice knows, does incredibly popular online now YouTube, but also other social media posts, incredibly popular interviews with music celebrities, and he himself comes across both very lovable but extremely eccentric. Some people get him, some people don't get him. He prepares for his interviews better than anyone else on earth has ever prepared. His interviews with musical celebrities, he often will shock them with some. I actually don't know how he does it, and that's a fun question, but I love that you went, and they're very popular on the internet, so much so that people who know nothing about anything about college radio, anywhere, know about Nardwar. He's doing really, he's out there. But he got his start at college radio. That's how he began interviewing people. Maybe we did talk about him once. I'm starting to have a flashback that Yumi and
Yeah.
Paul might have at least talked into microphones about Nardwar. So tell me about visiting his station
Well,
and what you
and
remember.
he's still a part of CITR also. So
Right.
it's
So just
also
because he's a YouTube celebrity doesn't mean he's left his college radio station behind.
Yeah, and they're yeah, so he's still an active part of the station and CITR had a room that had they actually had an archiving room, which I was really excited about, that somebody with serious archival chops, you know, possibly they were in school for archiving. The room had been set up very specifically with archival boxes and the labeling and everything looked like something you would see in a university archives.
Oh, great.
So looking through some of the older material there were drawings and program guides and such that Nardwar had created decades ago too. So that was cool. So he's living and breathing.
That is really cool. Tell me more about his college radio station.
It's actually really cool. It's at University of British Columbia, and it's in a large campus center like building that feels a bit like a mall. It's very open, and
Yeah, I'm familiar with the style of campus architecture.
the station has it's on the ground floor and has these accordion style windows, so you can see into the station from this very open campus center building that's very light filled, and the front of the station has these windows that are accordion style, so they can open the windows completely
Okay.
if they wanted to have a performance or something, and then people
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
outside in the space can see in and listen to what's going on. And yeah, it was very lively, full of all kinds of artifacts, and there were I tour radio stations all the time, and I have kind of these scavenger hunt items that I look for, and
Yeah.
one of them is Steve Keen paintings, and he's this artist who does these very quick paintings on pieces of wood of different artists and album covers, and I've seen them at a bunch of stations, and they must have had five of them
Oh,
maybe perched
interesting.
up on a wall, and he's from the States, so it's just interesting, you know, you're in Canada visiting a Canadian college radio station, and there are also little tidbits, little
Yeah, I always wanted to. I don't know if you're. This might be unfair to ask you, but I've always wanted to talk about Nardwar and his roots at college radio. We should ask Nardwar. I like. It just seems like it's an. It's not. It would. I want to believe that it's not a coincidence that college radio, sort of gave birth to this internet celebrity who's still continuing to thrive and find an audience now in this new media environment in which we live. I feel like his college radio must be special.
Yeah, I mean, it's a special place, and I met people from that station at the conference, so I was already like very friendly with some people from CITR before I even went to visit, and had very warm and fuzzy feelings that the place was super creative. The swag I got from there was super cute. They had really cute beanies and dice, like just some random things that I hadn't seen, like the dice I'd never seen as a giveaway. But I don't know. I mean, I can't speak to how Nardwar became Nardwar,
For
but
future radio survivor producers to solve this problem for me.
exactly. But obviously, he's an all-around creative visual artist and journalist and
I guess one of the things to
multimedia
mention is
guy.
that he clearly, like Nardwar, I imagine, is now in his 50s. He looks to be a Gen X man, and he was doing the same kind of celebrity interview with musicians when he was in college. This, I think, is true. So it's like he got his start in college radio.
Yeah, I mean there's so much creativity in college radio that influences mainstream media, and it's just a reminder of that. I mean that's something that I'm constantly trying to remind people, that students are so influential and are doing such creative things, and it's not all that surprising. But it's interesting that I think he's also, he's such a figure that he's also drawing people into the station. So it's this cyclical, circular.
I can imagine that young people are like, I want to grow up and do that. And yeah, and they happen to be getting their start at the same college radio station with the same dreams.
Exactly. So that, yeah, those are my college radio travels for the year. The other thing that I caught up on was Princeton Review, and for longtime Radio Survivor readers, you might know that Princeton Review, which is this college guide, they do a book called The Best Colleges. Every year it's a different number of colleges. So the most recent one is the best 391 colleges.
It
And
keeps growing, I imagine.
year after year, they do these college guides that have, whimsical categories like schools with the best food or most beautiful campuses.
I suppose that the market for these for Princeton Review is there, every year there's parents who need to figure out where they're gonna try to help their kids decide where to go, and that's what these guides are four, and I imagine that people inside of colleges are concerned about where they rank in these Princeton reviews. And
Exactly.
Jennifer, you've pointed out multiple times in the past that they sort of seem to be like skimming across the surface of what it means to be a college radio station when it comes to
Oh,
if they
yeah.
mention them at all. They don't go deep into
Oh, no, not at all.
the culture of college radio when they rank college radio stations or rank colleges based on their stations.
So these books are rankings and ratings, and the they have a list in the book called The Best College Radio Station List. And it's
Oof,
based,
that's already tr problematic.
I know, and it's based on student surveys
Okay.
at the colleges that are in the guide. So
Right,
it's.
so you've pointed out in the past that sometimes a college radio station might be known by its students for factors beyond whether or not it's a culturally relevant institution at that college radius, at that campus.
Yeah. Well,
And
there's
that
a.
can skew the numbers.
Well, it's a lot of things. So in order to be on the best college radio station list that Princeton Review, that's in the best 391 colleges guide by Princeton Review, your school has to be one of the schools that is surveyed. So
Right.
like there are a lot of schools that won't appear because they're not part of the guide. And the question that students are asked in the survey is, how popular is the radio station? Is the campus radio
Interesting.
station? So it's not actually a list of radio stations, it's a list of schools in the
Right. And I recall, Jennifer, that another reason we talk about this on Radio Survivors, because despite the fact that it's a flawed metric, it's quite rare for there to be a conversation or some kind of list published about college radio at all. So when the Princeton
Exactly.
Review does it, it's noteworthy. And then you, Jennifer Waite, a person who loves college radio and studies it and works hard to make sure that college radio gets its due in the culture these days,
It's something to talk about,
you
like,
and you well and react to.
and react to. But it, you know,
What's your
it
reaction?
what's my reaction? I mean, it gives attention to these schools, and they will tout, you know, schools and stations will tout that they're on the list. And I don't know, I like to look every year and see who's on it. So this year it was a list of 25 schools. 17 of the 25 were on the list from the year before. So then I'm always intrigued, like, what are the new ones on the list? So there were four schools on the list that haven't been on any Princeton Review Best College Radio Station list
Okay, that's interesting.
going back to the beginning, which is 1993. So just this year, I got access to all of the data from,
Oh.
because I've been reporting on this since even before Radio Survivor. So now I actually have the full information, so I can actually definitively say they've never been on. So the schools that appear that have never been on the list were Washington and Lee, Rollins College, John Carroll University, and University of Portland. So I mean, I think it's great that there are schools on the list that shift every year, and it brings attention to new schools, even
I
though
need
it's
to know more about this University of Portland station. That's so funny.
yes, I've been there, and I will put the link in the show notes.
Right, because it's not Portland State University, which might be a more, I don't know, well-known college campus in our community.
Yeah, it's a Catholic university,
Yeah.
and they do have a radio station. So we'll put the link in the show notes. You can read.
Congratulations, University of Portland,
I
from
know.
me, Eric Klein, resident of your city.
I know they made the list, and Reed in Portland was number two
Oh,
on the
of
list.
course.
So
Wow. I
a
mean,
little.
not of course, but that's wonderful for
A
Reed,
li
a comeback for Reed.
a little more West Coast representation than maybe in prior years. It tends to the list always skews East Coast, so
Co college radio on the campus of Reed in Portland, Oregon, has a long and storied history and then had gone sort of gone a little bit dark. And so it's nice to hear that they're back on top in the Princeton list.
number two. So yes, Eric, this is the status of college and community radio from my perspective from the past few months. I know we haven't done a show in a while, so this is the
No, I
word on the street.
appreciate, I really appreciate the chance to get to hear from you, Jennifer, and listen to the information you've gathered from community radio and college radio. We're lucky to have you here on the airwaves, and I appreciate the time that you've spent to share the news with us.
That's the news. And, you know, hopefully we'll be back soon with some other news and maybe some guests in the future. We'll see. We'll see what
Yeah.
transpires.
Well, Radio Survivor is online at radiosurvivor.com, and thank you so much for listening.